Okay, so we have a sponsor. I walked in this morning, an anonymous sponsor. This is the Yahrzeit tomorrow of Shlomo ben Moshe. We also have an anonymous sponsor, which is on the thing. Somebody wrote me, a fellow who I've never met, but he's apparently been listening to my shirim, and he said, hold it, how do you get to do a sponsorship? So I told him, you sponsor, and he said, fine. So this is the text he wanted to say, sponsored anonymously, with great respect and gratitude for Rav Kahn. So I just want you to know, I didn't write that. That's that I was faithfully... No, she would not write that. I was faithfully cutting and pasting from what he had said, so therefore he has his sponsorship and he has his anonymity. I actually should charge more for anonymity, for that ability. Yes, so this Parsha Bereishit, as we've noted. That's we very often don't have time when the holidays end. It doesn't work out well, and we kind of just start the next week. So when we do start with Bereishit, then the question comes, where to begin? So we have a whole bunch of different things we could start with. One is we could have started at the very beginning, which has an advantage because the expectations are very low because no one understands anything over there, and that probably would have been easier. We could have gone straight into the world of sin, which some of you would identify with a lot, and that would be... A very good place. Some of us still are hearing serpents whispering in our ears, telling us to eat all kinds of forbidden things. And we listen. Or we could have started with Cain and Hevel, but that was what we did 2 years ago, and that's what's in the new book, is a chapter on Cain and Hevel. So what we're starting with is chapter 5, which means just like moving on. And we have a verse, we'll start with one verse and then we'll read a little bit more. We have a verse which is challenging. Before we read the verse, I don't know how many or what books, do people still read books or we've stopped doing this? So when we read books, part of when you meet the character is you need then to figure out what baggage the character's carrying with them. And by the way, the same thing is true of people, which means what scars, what pain, what experiences, what happiness, what joy, what... But there's background. There is something which is there in the background. And sometimes, as I said, with good books, it becomes revealed to you because that's part of what the author needs to do. Otherwise... And with bad books, I assume, how many bad books did you edit? Lots of bad books? So with bad books, then you never actually figure out what's going on because they don't tell it or they don't tell it in a timely way. But we would have assumed that we read this wonderful book, Bereishit, we're going to the very beginning, and this is, you know, the start. So we have characters. Well, the truth is that we're in chapter 5, Perikei. And over here, there already has been sin, and there's been exile, and there's been pain, and there's been curses, and there's baggage. And as I said, it could be very easy for us to say, no, but this is like the beginning, and in the beginning, everything's supposed to be brand new and good and so on, but it doesn't necessarily work that way. So, and healing is a funny thing. So now, with having said that, let's start again. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. Now, the only problem is how you translate those couple of words. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. So my temptation is to translate it as literally as I can. This is the book of, how would you like to translate Toldot? The book of the generations, if you will. Okay, generations is good enough. It's not a technical translation, the word Toldot and generations. I wrote the book of Adam Chronicles. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. This is the book of the... If you want the generations, I'm happy. Chronicles. Right, I wrote Chronicles. That's what I wrote on the bottom. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. Biyom Buro Elokim Adam, Bidmut Elokim Asa Oto. On the day that God, for the lack of a better word, created man in the image of God, for the lack of a better word, he created him. Of course, the next verse then will be challenging, and some of us may have noticed this challenge all the way back. Man was already created in the first chapter, and everybody knows that. And then in the second chapter again, and everybody knows that. And then you get to these things like Adam 1 and Adam 2, which the secret is Rabbi Soloveitchik actually borrowed that from Rosenzweig. But don't really? See that? See, you still have to come here. There are things. From Rosenzweig? No, it's not. It's too obvious not to to be original. Anyway, but over here we have a potentially third creation or a repetition of a previous creation. And then if any of you really want to work hard, which you don't, so I'm just going to say this, but you're not going to listen. And that is then to take this presentation of Adam, if, by the way, Adam is a name, or if Adam is the name of a species, and take this one and then compare it back to the other two, to 126 and then to 2, 6, 7. Zachar unakeva baram, he created them, male and female. Vayivarech otam, and he blessed them. Vayikra et shmam Adam. So that's the turn of phrase, which is really interesting. He called their names Adam. So presumably they were Mr. and Mrs. Adam, and therefore this was the Adams family, which itself, yes, I can't control myself at times. Everyone does. Vayikrat shmam Adam biyom hibra'am, on the day that they were created. Now over here, every single word really needs to be compared back to the previous times, including which name of God, including the sequence, including the blessing is quite interesting. And I'm just going to point out a couple of things and then hopefully we'll be able to move forward. One, in the Gemara, in the Yerushalmi, it's in other places as well, in Nidarim, we find an argument between Rabbi Akiva and a colleague of his, a student slash colleague, even son-in-law, but you have to know that, you have to read my other book, Crowns on the Letters, where I have a whole chapter on him, on Ben Azai. And that's his name, Shimon ben Azai, that Rabbi Akiva very famously says that love your neighbor as yourself, v'haftarach kamocha, is the most important verse in the Torah. And then ben Azai says, oh no, there's a more important one, and he quotes this pasuk, the Sefer Todot Adam. So now, arguably, this is the most important verse of the Torah. Why it's the most important verse in the Torah, he doesn't explain, and that leaves all the commentaries to go into all kinds of directions. One suspicion is that he's really talking about the second half of the verse, and that is Dmut Elokim Asato, that man is created in the image of God. And if man is the image of God, that is the most important thing for us to know, because of all of the things and, you know, all the baggage that we carry and all the pain that we have and all the mistreatment or maltreatment or malfeasance and so on that we have when we relate to others, we have to treat others as if they are in the image of God. And if we keep that in mind, that is more important than V'haftarach Kamocha. That's very interesting, because Rabbi Akiva, therefore, would be saying, oh, love your neighbor as yourself, but without giving the rationale, which means love your neighbor as yourself is this wonderful ideal. Oh, I should be full of love, which is great until somebody bothers you, right? Yeah. All they have to do is somebody's got to cut you off when you're driving, and there went all the love went. It's this wonderful teaching of the Arizal. It's in the Siddur. Some people have it in the Siddur. It says before a person starts the daven, they should accept upon themselves the mitzvah of Haftarach Kamocha, the mitzvah of love your neighbor as in yourself. And I think that Arizal is great, but I think everybody should say it before they get in a car. Right? I hereby accept upon myself the mitzvah haftarach kamocha. But what's the difference? It's maybe, I mean, the way that we daven, the way the Jews pray sometimes, not always the case, that when you walk into shul, you have to say, I'm going to behave. That's really what we're saying. I'm going to behave. And we tend to forget that. But we need to behave in other cases also. So therefore, we keep saying, oh, love your neighbor as yourself, which is a great ideal. And in a sense, Ben Azai's turning and say, yeah, but, you know, why don't we go to the core? And the core is that all people in the image of God. And therefore, that provides the philosophical rationale, or not just rationale, it's much stronger than that, obligation. It's what choice do I have other than to love and respect others, because all people are in the image of God. And if I don't love somebody else, what I'm not seeing is the image of God within them. And if I'm not seeing the image within them, then I need to work upon myself. We read this verse now with the knowledge that this, at least according to one opinion, is the most important verse in the Torah. But I do want to stress something, that even though there are those who suspect that it's because of the end of the verse, that's not necessarily the case. It could be he thinks it's the most important verse in the Torah, Zeh Sefer Todot Adam. The very fact that we have a world, we have a story, which means there is a story to be told. And that story to be told, maybe even some of you would argue, is the greatest story ever told. But what is the greatest story ever told? Well, that's our story. So where does our story begin? So some of us would then say, well, our story begins in Bereshit. But Bereshit is so foreign from us. And that was really my comment about the whole first chapter. We don't understand anything in the first chapter. That first chapter is really, to a great extent, it is God operating. Somehow there is this incredible, what do you want to call it? There's a rendezvous between infinite and finite. There's a rendezvous between a God who's impossible for us to see or to feel or to understand, and then everything that we have around us. And as we go from the infinite to the finite, there is this unfolding which takes place, which we really don't understand. But what we do understand is from when we appear and when it becomes our story. So therefore, for him to say, well, that's really the most important verse, is the beginning of our story, maybe that's what he meant. And it's not necessarily to be contrasted with what his colleague Rabbi Akiva had said. So I'm just leaving that out loud. There is something else. Yeah?
What about the end of the verse? That it's man and woman created them. Maybe that's the most important thing.
It could be, but that's the next verse.
Oh, okay.
You're cheating.
Oh, okay.
It's... There is, though, something quite important about the continuation. I agree with you completely, but I just wouldn't want to ascribe that to his opinion because that's not what he quotes.
Okay.
That would be a little unusual for him to quote this verse and then really mean the next verse. So I don't think that's as simple of a suggestion. For those of us who want to be Jewish pseudo-intellectuals, we'll be confounded between the difference between Tselem, that man is created in Tselem Elohim, the image of God, and Dmut, and how would you translate Dmut versus Tselem? And as I said, if you want, you can then say, oh, the Rambam talks about this in the Guide for Perplexed. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know anything else, but just know that that's one of the issues that he deals with towards the very beginning. But that's one of the challenges over here. But this does speak about this book of... Going back to the beginning now, the words that we had a hard time. This is the book of the chronicles of man, or the generations of man. In the day that God created man, in the image of God, he made him. And then immediately moving over to the plural, male and female, he created them, which is part, if you've ever heard that suggestion, that man was created somehow as this other kind of being that both had male and female properties to it. So this would be one of the supporting verses to it. Although I need to then continue. V'yavarech otam, he blessed them. V'yikrat shmam Adam b'yom hibar'am. And he called them Adam on the day that they're created. Now, what exactly is that blessing that he's talking about? So then you need to go back to the first chapter or the second chapter and to try to track down the blessings which are there. And there aren't that many blessings. And one of the blessings is that man is blessed in terms of procreation. Which means what we have then is God creating man in his image, and then we have man's ability to create, if you want to use the word create, in terms of continuing, which really goes back to the word toldot, which is the generations. How exactly we continue? Well, it wasn't that in subsequent generations that God did whatever it is that he did when he created Adam and Eve, or Adam and Eve, whatever took place over there. So you really have a dual creation which took place. The dual creation is the initial creation and then the capacity for continued creation. So therefore that capacity for continued creation is what the blessing is about. That is that initial blessing that God blessed them and said, Peru Revu. So therefore, now I go back and I read this verse, I hope with a little bit more insight. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. This is, now look at the word toldot all over again, and what word do you see within that word? Toldot is the word leida, is to have children, yeled, nolad. I mean, if you just go further in this little chapter, I made it very easy for you because I bolded it, right? Vayoled, vayoled, holidu, holidu, vayoled, vayoled, which means all of the children which were being born subsequently. So what is that referring to? Well, that's the toledot. How do you have toledot? Because God gave us this capacity to have children. Maybe we would have thought, well, of course you need to be able to have children. Otherwise, well, that's exactly the point. Why did that have to be the case? So therefore we have, again, this dual presentation of man. We have man who's being presented in terms of this male and female. I don't even want to use the word androgynous because it's not the right word. Because it's not androgynous. It's actually the complete opposite. And there's a much deeper point. I don't know how far we'll get if we'll look at the Zohar or whatever. There's a much deeper point to this. It's not that the original individual was androgynous. It was the original individual was both male and female. There is a very big, androgyny would be where there's, well, it's a mix together, which really would indicate a lack of identity in terms of, look, I could have renamed this class and made this very, very woke and very gender accommodating, but it's, but I'm sleeping, I'm not woke, so I'd...
Are you speaking about the opinion that they were attached?
Yes, 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 yes. So there, and but there's a problem with that. The first problem is what? Okay, you're being very practical. The other problem, to use the language in how do they hook up? That would be the problem. Oh. Try to be nice. Try to be nice. How? Which means they don't. But nonetheless, there is something male and something female, which, now why is that important? Well, that's exactly the issue, is that they created the image of God, which brings me back, is God male or is God female? So don't go there. Because God, so how do you define these terms? How do you, again, this really is interesting, because this is one of the problems which, at least in America, seems to be almost impossible to for some people to answer. What exactly is male? What exactly is female? What exactly is sex? Well, God is ascribed male attributes, and God is ascribed female attributes, and whatever all of this means, that sometimes God is like a father and sometimes God is like a mother. And that's really the important part of this. And therefore, man is created with both of those capacities to them. And there's a lot more to talk about, not so much in terms of gender, but in terms of decency. And the reason why I'm using the word decency is that sometimes all of us need to be able to have mothering types of attitudes and abilities, and sometimes all of us to need. Now I know that I'm being very not nice, certainly in terms of current language, but that's part of the problem, is that language is losing its clarity because we don't like to, or we're told not to use terms in such ways. But let me go a little bit further now, because all of this is sitting right here in this section. It is this Adam, Eve, it's them. They are Adam. They are Adam. This species called Adam, which is this male-female species, is called Adam. But that's what God creates. But God creates with an ability of future creation. And that's part of what's interesting, because it didn't have to be that way. This whole human experiment did not have to be one of future generations. The human experiment could have been one in the Garden of Eden. It didn't work out all that well. And now let's move on to other stories and other, right? It didn't have to continue. But nonetheless, God creates with an ability to recreate. Are computers there yet or not yet? Can they recreate? I guess when they can recreate themselves, then it's time for us all to move on. The Alshich, in source number 2. Now, the Alshich is part of the wonderful group of people who lived in the 16th century in Tzfat. So all of his colleagues are Kabbalists. He himself is, I think it would be fair to call him one as well. Hine omru zes sefer humiyutar. The whole verse would have worked perfectly without the word sefer. Now, that's a wonderful observation, because indeed, as we'll note, there are all other kinds of examples where we're told that these are the toldot of, and then fill in the blank, and it doesn't use the word sefer in any of those. So why is the word book being used over here, especially when it seems unnecessary? So that's really why we brought it in. V'od shekol sefer eino toldot adam. But the book is not the book of man's chronicles, or if you take it technically, man's progeny. Now, part of the question, therefore, is going to be, what is this book? By the way, that's not the only question. There's a more fundamental question, which I'm skipping right now, but I'll give you a little bit of a hint. Who said that that's the correct translation of the word sefer? Okay, good. So right away, he is making an assumption that the word sefer means book, and he says, well, that's not necessary. And he said, and therefore, and the book isn't only about man, but, and that's also an assumption. Who said what this book is that it's talking about, and or how long this book is? And then he writes, v'imper shua masha misaper. Now, that's very interesting, because now he could not help himself but to use another word. And the word sefer and misaper, how similar are they? They're very similar, but they're different. Because what is this? What is l'saper? It's to tell over a story. And what is a book? Well, you say a book tells over stories, but there's a very different part about a book. And a book is very formal, and a book is written. And the right. So therefore, the imper shu al mashem misaper him sheicha asar darot. And if this is about telling over what happened the next couple of generations, mi lo yadaba kol eliki todot amhema. Of course, the next couple of verses tell us that this is Adam's progeny. Like, what? Why is that necessary? Amnam, and you notice I've skipped a bit. He asked a whole bunch of other questions, which are all good, but we didn't have time. Amnam, terem yaskir asar adot shemadam vadnoach, asher lo tchil ador sheni, rak achoyot adam ben 130 shana, omeach shehu yitbarach lo tahu bara et olamo. So he's actually pointing out that these generations of Adam doesn't tell us everything about Adam. A matter of fact, it goes to a very particular line that it tells over. It's the line of Shet, which means there was at least one other line, Cain, and maybe even Hevel had children by that point. We don't know. So maybe there were other lines over there. Mahita minia hazera adizmanohu ve'imaya osinin yamitolodot Cain hachrashti. So he says that if it would have told us about all of man's progeny, this is the book, which means if you tell over, this is your life, right? And this is your family, and these are your children, but you leave over the rest of the story. So he says, well, there's something missing. So therefore, to call this the Sefer Todot Adam doesn't seem to be. First of all, it seems unnecessary. And if it's necessary, it seems not to be true, the way that it's being told. Vinei hakoshi hu matchil me'et bara Elokim adam du partzufim bilti muchan laholid ki ech yizdaveg. And he goes, the problem begins, and this is where we already noted, where if he does in fact create man as this being with this two-sided being, where one side is male, one side is female, then it could not possibly be able to have children. Achinei ikar toladot tzadikim. The real progeny or chronicles or story of the righteous is the ma'asim tovim, v'chalkei ha-Torah, is their deeds and the part of Torah that they identify with. Kimo she'amru b'sefer ha-Zohar, ki talmid chacham shemet, lo hayat sarich liyabem et ishto, ki torato hu toldotav, uki inyan ben azai. Shemolid umarbe oraite. That's fascinating what he just now told us. It's, first of all, if you need a fancy word for today, it's really quite antinomian. Okay. If you don't need that word, then I'll explain it.
Do we need that word?
Yeah, it's a good word. Antinomian. Because it just now said that there's a part of the Torah. The Torah says, what happens when someone dies without children? So it says, oh, died without children. So it then describes how the brother should take responsibility for the wife and then bring children and keep his memory going. So the Zohar says, oh, righteous people don't need that because righteous people didn't die without anything because they left something behind. Now, that's not the law. That's why it's antinomian. That's not the law. So therefore, it must be the Zohar is really saying that in a perfect world, that's what should be. But then, again, I'm adding now, but who knows who's really righteous and so on and so forth. But that's just a fascinating idea, because he's moving this over, that the Sefer over here is much more talking about this. It's Torah, but not Torah in the Bereshit Shmot Vayikra Bamidbar sense. It's Torah in terms of essence. And therefore it's saying is that what really is the story of man? And what led him here is fascinating, because what led him here is saying, because such a man could not have had children. It was just, but he could have done good deeds. So therefore, such a person, the toldot that we're talking about right away, are these toldot or these deeds and not anything else. So, and by the way, if you can ask me about any of this, if this is pshat, if this is really what the Chumash means, I think we'd have a very hard time saying yes. The other thing that he said is, oh, and it's like Ben Azai. So I hope that you at least notice the irony now, because I mentioned Ben Azai a moment ago, because Ben Azai thought of all the verses in the Torah, this is the most important verse. So it's really quite interesting that he now brings Ben Azai in. And again, I just wonder what was going on in his mind and the associations that he was making. But Ben Azai, if you don't remember, and again, I'll say this again, Crowns and the Letters, there's a whole chapter on him, a whole treatment. At one point, if any of you are writing a biography of me, I don't know who's, Maybe we should start with a Wikipedia page. But if anybody's writing, originally I was going to write a master's thesis on Ben Azzai, and I collected a lot of the material, and then it sat on a professor's desk for a couple of years, waiting for a response. And by that time, I already got married and moved to Israel, and thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I moved on. The fact that I came back to it and then reworked it as a chapter in the book is, at least now you know where at least some of the things came from. Anyway, Ben Azzai very famously says he never got married. Or he got married and he separated from his wife. And he nonetheless says that whoever doesn't get married is as if they diminish the image of God in this world. And they questioned about this. He goes, what can you do? My soul is in love with Torah. So what the Zohar actually, and I put the Zohar in a footnote on the bottom there. The Zohar doesn't say this specifically about Ben Azzai, but it's saying is that righteous people, they do have deeds, and their deeds is Torah. And what the Al-Sheikh did, he goes, oh yeah, and that's why Ben Azzai doesn't need to have children, because he's a righteous person, and therefore all of his teachings are the impact that he's left on the world over the deeds. Right. So let's continue. V'zeh yomor hine zeh sefer, hu sefer ha-Torah, hu toldat Adam. So now he's kind of moved away that we're dealing with, that this should have been called the Book of the Chronicles of Man, but it's really the Torah is the Book of Man, which means the Torah and man are not really to be separated. Rather, man was created in a spiritual sense, much more like God. Ki az toldotav lo yurak ruchaniim, hem orot sefer haTorah. Ki ruchani dome lekono. V'zeo bidmut elokim asa oto, v'yakein lo amar tselem. And he's going, the difference between dmut versus tselem, and he's saying is that man who doesn't have the capacity to have children, but nonetheless possesses the identities of male and female, are much closer to God on a spiritual sense than physical man, who then is able to be involved in all kinds of physical things, including having relations and others. Which all of this is interesting, and part of this is troubling, and there's many things to think about this, but part of what I'm trying to point out with this whole section is one thing. Look how hard he's working to explain the word sefer. That's really what this whole musing is about. He's having a really hard time explaining what the word sefer means, and he feels it can't be the obvious, it can't be the what it says it is, by the way. It must mean something else. And it really, again, I noted that there's really two sections over here. The beginning is man created the image of God, and that is the beginning of this book. But I don't think that that's the proper reading over here. I think the proper reading is that God creates man, but now we need man to be able to create man. And that's the Sefer Toledot. It's this book of God, and therefore the image of God that we're imitating is really the quite opposite of what the Al-Sheikh is saying. The Al-Sheikh is saying is that our inability to have children and only to do spiritual deeds is what's special, but rather our ability to have children, our ability to create, is actually that thing which is blessed, because that's what he moves on after. That's what the blessing is. And that is, in a certain sense, the image of God. But as I said, this is not as simple of a section as perhaps we thought. Now, after all that, we can look at Rashi. Rashi's in Surah 3, Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. Zuhi Sfirat Toldot Adam. So Sfirat, it's telling over the story. But Rashi knows that this is not necessarily satisfying, and Rashi does something that he does occasionally, and then he writes, Umidurshei Agadayesh Rabim. And there's many rabbinic explanations of all of this, because he knows that some of them are really interesting. So he doesn't discount them. He doesn't say, oh, this is what it means. He says, this is what it means, but there's lots of other things to say. The Mizrahi, which is source 4, which is a commentary in Rashi, explains, Zuhi Sfirat Toldot Adam, and he says, Ukamohu, and he goes, hold it, there's in other places that this is a similar language, which is a very interesting and unfortunate example, V'kativla Sefer Kritut, Sfirat Dvarim Ki'ita B'perek Sheni. The word Sefer is also used by a get. When people get divorced, that's the word which is used. Sefer Kritut, this separating between a husband and wife. Again, I hope you realize that there is something ironic about using that as the example. But the Gemara, which is really what he's quoting, the Gemara in Gittin says that what is the core of the get it tells over a narrative. Sfirat Dvarim, it's telling the narrative. So the Mizrach is using this to explain Rashi, who said, Zuhi Sfirat Todat Adam. Sfirat, it's telling over. So therefore, Rashi is not explaining it to book. Rashi is saying this is the story of man. This is the story. This is the story of man unfolding. And while, again, the problem that the Al-Sheikh had, what kind of book is this? So therefore, now already we realize that we have possibly more than one definition of what this word means over here, and we're not that clear. The interesting thing about Mizrahi is he brought another time that Sefer is used, Sefer Kritut. And there the Gemara specifically says, no, it's not a book. You don't give a book. You give a text that tells over a story. And what's the story that it tells over is that now we're unfortunately separated. And part of what you're noticing is that once I moved over from a book to a story, and there's no reason to make the distinction other than your mind did it, and it's good what you did, is that stories change, they move. Books, once you publish something, it becomes static. So that itself is interesting. So what kind of book is this? So source number 5 of the Radak, Zeh Sefer Inyan Cheshbon. It has to do with numbers. So I hope you realize now that we have a third definition of what the word Sefer means over here. What word is he identifying over here? Mispar, to count. Absolutely, but look what he does. Zeh Sefer Inyan Cheshbon. So he's telling you right away, again, not like the Al-Sheikh, what kind of book is this? He's not saying it's a book. It's an accounting, is a perfect word, an accounting. Ki hu sofer, it's counting, shnei hatoladot me Adam va'ad Noach. It's telling over the years of the people that lived from Adam to Noach. So it's an accounting. So over here, we now, in the last couple of minutes, we've come to three different definitions of what, or a possible definition of what the word means over here. He then notes as well, V'acham bibrat Adam, v'lo zachar kain v'hevel. Ki hevel lo haya lo toladot, v'kain ibdu toladotav. U'mishet nitkayem hamitziut. So now if I'm going to go back to what Stu said a moment ago, that this ongoing story is what we're telling, so therefore maybe kain had children, maybe not, but we're not told about it, that's not our story. Because Cain doesn't continue. And, sorry, let me go back. Sorry, I misstated that. Maybe Hevel had children or not, but we don't know. Cain had children, but he loses, or they get lost, and they're not part of the ongoing story, so therefore that's not what's told over here. So therefore now this sense that there's an ongoing story being told, and this is our story, that is really much more where the Radak is moving. Rabbeinu Meyuchas is one of the Balei HaTosfot. Now that we're smarter and we realize we don't know, right? That's always you're smarter. We weren't as smart in the beginning, then we knew what Sefer means. And we read something like Rabbeinu Meyuchas, Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam, Sipur Toldot Adam Rishon, V'kol Sefer El Shem Sipur Dvarim. So he's kind of hedging his bets between, every book is about telling over a story, so which one is it? Is it the book or is it the story? But he won't let us know. The Ramban, Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam, Habanim, Asher Yizkir B'Parasha. What is the, so is he going on the word Sefer or Toldot? It's the children. Ulefi dati yirmerz l'kol ha-Torah, ki kol ha-Torah kula Sefer Toldot Adam. But that's Torah. Torah is the story of man, which is very interesting. Okay, we'll let the Ramban. You know what? Am I dishing the Ramban at home? I'm going to write. Stu said this is true.
It's not the story of God.
It's the story of man. It is.
A lot of people think it's.
I agree completely. It's really an interesting comment that he's making over here. Sefer Toldot Adam is the Torah. This is our story. So, and he goes, good. Go to Sefer Toldot Adam. Okay, Amar Bekan Sefer V'lo Amar Ve'elo Toldot Adam. Again, exactly the point. Why does it say Sefer, and not just say Toldot, as in the other cases? And he says, look, in chapter 25, El Toldot Yishmael, or El Toldot Yitzchak, right, and so on. And all those other times have the word Toldot without, because those are just in accounting, but this he feels there's something more here, and he's identifying that this is the Torah. In source number 8, the Moshe of Zakenim, again going back to Torah coming out of the Balei HaTosfot, he tells us Ze sefer toldot Adam, ama bereshit Rabba, ru'uya ya Adam rishon shetinaten Torah al yado. Adam was on the level the Torah should have been given to him. Shenemar ze sefer. Quoting this verse, ze sefer, God, here's, avolomar kodesh baruch hu, but God said, listen, Adam, let's just be honest about your track record. Mitzvah achad tzivitiv, v'lo hayachod la'amod ba, ech yaseh b'tayag mitzvot. I gave you one mitzvah and you blew it. How can I give you 613? Come on, this is not really happening. So, but what's really interesting about this is what he's identifying is another thing about a story. And sometimes in a story, there are various possibilities that you see right in front of you about what could have been or what should have been. And that's part of what a story is. Part of a story also are the paths not taken. So over here he's saying is that there's almost a note over here informing us that Adam should have received the Torah, but rather he didn't. And he continues and tells us another part of the Midrash. Did Adam really have a book? And going more towards the literal and the book part of it. Rather, God showed him the ongoing chapters. For all of you people who are terrible people, who look at the end of a book before you decide if you're going to read the book or not, he's saying that God gave Adam the next number, again, the chapters all the way through the end, and showed him all the characters in the book, and that's Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. Again, just think, Zeh Sefer Toldot, did Adam have a book? Yeah. What was the book? The book is Toldot Adam, it's the future. Did God give him the future? Yeah, God gives him the future, and he gives him this future book, but again, he's quoting the Gemara. It's in more than one place. And the way the Gemara quotes it, the focus is on the book. This is the book of Adam, and he sees the future. And he quotes a nice verse in this, Karah HaDorot Meirosh, and you can look that up. And source number 9 is that source that he quoted, V'chisefo Yelol Adam Rishon, and we've already seen enough of it. Even though there's some other things there which are worthwhile noting, we're going to, maybe we'll read it quickly, sorry. V'ha'amar Resh Lakish, my dichtiv is a sefer toldot Adam, but he sefer yelol Adam Rishon. What does it mean that this is the book? Did Adam have a book? Melamed shira kodesh baruch hu Adam Rishon dor dor v'dor shav dor dor v'chachamav dor dor v'panasav. He showed him all of the teachers and all the wise people and all of the wealthy people. Kevin shegila dor shor biyakiva. So this wasn't quoted before. When he gets to Rabbi Akiva's generation, samach b'torato, Adam was overjoyed when he saw his Torah. V'nit atzev. But he was very saddened when he saw how Rabbi Akiva's death. Amar, v'li ma yikru re'echa el, ma atzmu roshehim. And that verse definitely has to be understood within Rabbi Akiva as well, but we're going to leave that. V'am Rabbi Yossi, ein ben David ba el sheyuchlu kol haneshamot shebeguf. And I'm not going to read more of this, but Rabbi Yossi, what's interesting to me is this comes right afterwards, that it's like Messiah can't come until all the souls have been used up. Which means that there is something called, and there's many mystical ways of understanding this, but he seems to be saying is that Adam sees all the future, and again, where we started today is, then man has this capacity of bringing more life into the world. And he's saying is, no, that is the story. The story is all those people that need to be brought into the world and all these souls that need to be actualized in order for the world to get to the place that it needs to get to. So him, Rabbi Yossi, adding in this teaching over here, it's not incidental because it's coming right after the teaching of Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. Yeah.
So is this sort of the same book or the same story that Yaakov almost saw at his deathbed when he wanted it? Very close to seeing it.
Yes. The same one. Yes. We'll see how much more we can get to this. First, I want to note, I'm going to skip the next two sources for a moment. I'm going to try to come back. In source number 12, there's a Zohar over here. The Zohar, skip to the next page where you have it in English as opposed to Aramaic. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam, L'dmiyotav, all the characters. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Hera Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam Dmuyot Shel Kol Otan Dorot Sheyavo LaOlam. He showed him all the characters who are ever going to live, which is also an interesting way to read a book. But I do want to emphasize something. The Zohar here, other than using the word, the verse, never uses book. The Talmud is saying there's a book. What kind of book is this? Okay, he showed him the book. Over here it says that he shows him all the people, but it doesn't say book. He gilur otet David, so here as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, he got to David HaMelech, Yisrael shnolad met. It says that David was supposed to die a stillbirth and never come into this world. That's what the Zohar says. Amarlo, and Adam sees this and says, Me'ashanim sheli al velo shivim shana. I'll lend him 70 years. And I think a lot of us have heard this bit, and it's used to explain something. I'll explain it all in a second. V'garu me'adam shivim shana ve'la otam HaKadosh Baruch Hu leDavid. So let's explain this on a couple different levels. One, when God tells Adam not to eat from the tree, he says, the day you eat from the tree, you're going to die. Nonetheless, Adam lives a very long time. So that's a problem. On the other hand, we're told in another verse in Psalms that 1,000 years is like one day for God. So therefore, theoretically, Adam should have lived to 1,000. But Adam dies at the age of 930. So do you realize the brilliance of what this passage in Zohar did? Is it says, okay, there's 70 years missing from his life. What happened to those 70 years? He lent them, that's the language here, he lent them to King David. So King David can come into this world as well. So that's really, you know, one level of what this teaching is. On the other level is that maybe had Adam done the one mitzvah God asked him to do, maybe that would have been the Messianic age. I know that sounds very funny, so early in history for there have been, but no, the world would have been complete. And Adam, who fails in making the world complete, has to make sure the world will be complete, so therefore this soul of David needs to come into this world. And now you go back to the Gemara that we can't get completion until all the souls, and he sees a soul there which is not coming to fruition, so therefore he does what he can to make sure that it's going to come in. But again, notice something else. It's about numbers. This is about mispar. It's not about sefer. That's the key that I want you to see over here, is that the Zohar is telling over, I use the word story, but it's a different term is being used. While the Gemara was focusing on book, the Zohar is focusing on numbers. And therefore the numbers, which don't work because David's not going to live, so therefore Adam has to give him some of his numbers, and therefore there's a whole different interpretation of what we've been reading. So I hope that made sense, and now I can go back to source number 10. If you feel left out because we didn't learn the first chapter and all the mystical things that we can't understand, so instead we'll go to the very beginning, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, of the Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation. Quite appropriate. I'm sure all the rabbis teaching Bereshit this week are teaching from the Sefer Yetzirah. So, B'shloshim u'shtayim netivot, pliot, chachma, chachaka Hashem tzvakot, elkei Yisrael, elokim chayim, umelech olam, kel shakai, rachum v'chanun, ram v'nasa, shochein ad marom v'kadosh shemo, uberorot olamo b'shlosha sfarim. Hold on for a second. In 32 paths, those 32 paths are the 22 letters and the 10 numbers. So those are the cores, or the 10 sefirot, if you will. The 22 letters and the sefirot get manipulated, and that's where creation comes from. But it all comes down, what's the end of this teaching? It's shlosha sfarim. Now, all of you, if you were not educated yet, you would have been very tempted to say, there are three books. But it's not three books. It's rather, bisafar, sfar, visipur. It's three different usages of these three letters, which are a book, counting, and a story. So now that we noted that there were these different commentaries, we're telling over this in three different ways, so I just reveal to you a very great secret. What is the secret? Is that creation took place with all three of these. And therefore, that I would have been very tempted. I don't know if I saw any commentaries actually say this. I would have been very tempted to have said that all three are correct. That what is the Sefer Toldot Adam? It is the book, and it is the story, and it is the enumeration or the accounting that takes place. And those are not, none of them are mutually exclusive to the other, especially now knowing that this is one of the quote-unquote secrets of creation, of what creation is, that God uses these three things. There are numbers. Okay, there are the sefirot, there are numbers. There are letters, right? The letters is what, the 22 letters. And there's a book. So all of these are part of where creation takes place. And the whole, the golem legend, for example, that God takes the letters and, oh, sorry, that man can take the letters and manipulate them and put Emet, the first, the middle, and the last letter on the forehead of this golem and create it. That all comes from commentaries on the Sefer Yetzirah. Or take away Aleph, which is God, and then instead of Emet, you're left with Met. And then the thing dies. And again, all of these stories come back to this and our ability to create. But it's very interesting because our ability to create is not just that we can do a golem. Our ability to create is also to bring souls into the world, which is this other part of all of this. Go back now to the end of source number 12, still in the Zohar. Zacharnu keva bar'am, Rabbi Shimon Omar. Rabbi Shimon, of course, the hero of the Zohar of Shimon Bar Yochai. So, Dotel Yonim et Kalu b'shnei Pesukim Alalu. These two verses reveal incredible secrets from above. Zachar Nekeva Bar'am L'data Kavod Elyon. Male and female are created to reveal that which takes place above in heaven. Soda Emuna. It's the secret of belief. Shemitoch Sod Zeh Nivra Adam. That out of this secret man is created. Bo Re'e B'sod Shel Shemayim Va'aretz Nivra Adam. Bahem Katuv Eile Todot HaShemayim Va'aretz, about heaven and earth, it uses the word Toladot, which is really interesting, because we never thought about that, right? We only thought forward of the other cases, of Esav and Yishmael and so on, but Toladot is also by Shemayim Va'aretz. Ba'adam Katuv Zeh Sefer Todot Adam. Behem Katuv Behi Bar'am, uva'adam Katuv Biyom Hi Bar'am. Zachar Nekeva Bar'am Mikan, from that they were created, man is created male and female, called mut shalonim tzuba zachar nekeva inu dmut elyonei kiraoi. Then any dmut that does not have male and female. Now I'll just explain to you part of what he's revealing over here. He's explaining the kruvim and why the kruvim, the cherubs in the Beit HaMikdash, why the two of them are described as male and female, because they are trying to describe something which is godly, where sometimes God treats us as a father will treat a child, and sometimes God treats us as a mother will treat us as a child. Sometimes as midat hadin, and sometimes as midat rachamim. The word rachamim, compassion, the root of the word rachamim is rechem, is womb. It's the compassion that a mother has for a child is God's aspect of rachamim, a God's aspect. So therefore, God is, we say, is God male or female? So describe what you mean by that. Is that God has attributes which we, in our earthly conversations, will ascribe as male or female attributes, even though it's not an exclusive. And I'll say it again, because a man can also have compassion. But it's saying on the core, if you don't, it's saying man is created in the image of God, male and female, because, and that reveals something which takes place in heaven, which is namely how God treats us. Sometimes there's a strictness, and sometimes there's this compassion which is taking place. Now, I hope I explained a little bit. I want to come back to something that you said, actually Arlene said, about Yaakov and seeing the future and so on. So one of the things that we saw along the line was both the way the Gemara and the way that the Zohar both said, no, there's a book over here, and the purpose of the book was the future. And therefore the book tells over what's going to take place. It is the Toledot. This phenomenon, you're correct, absolutely correct. It's by Yaakov. It's also a couple of other places that I wanted to point out. Some of them maybe would have been a little less obvious. One, source 13. Vayom Hashem al Kain. Now we're going back. Remember we talked about the scars and the pain and the guilt. Vayom Hashem al Kain. Ei hevel achicha. Where's your brother? Hevel. Vayom lo yadati. Hashem arachi enochi. Am I my brother's keeper? By the way, now it's really interesting. Again, all people created in the image of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, that's all great until your brother annoys you and you kill him. Which means, yeah, that's part of the scene that happened right before all of this. The voice of the Bloods. Now, this is not like those of you from L.A. This is not the Bloods and, right? And the Crips, right? Kol demei achicha tzo'akim alai min adama. The voice of the blood, in plural, of your brother, tzoakim, or screaming, which is all plural, min adama. So the Ibn Ezra explains, the me'achicha nishpachu b'mokal t'rabim, alken katuv tzoakim, that the blood was spilled in many, many places, therefore it's the plurals used. Targum Onkelos, who's generally very literal, and maybe here as well, he is being literal, but he says something which is a little, we would not have expected it. V'amr ma'avadita kol dam Zarin da atidin limfak min achucha kablan kadamai min ara. All of the children, the blood, all of the children of your brother's descendants are screaming at me from the ground. And that's just a very, very powerful image. And it understands, literally, that's what the words mean. Kol demei achicha. Tzokim alei min adama. Now you go back to what I'd said. Go back into what I'd said before about there are these very souls that have to come into the world, and now what's going to be with all of these souls that you've killed? You've killed beyond what you could possibly repair. Rashi goes in that direction as well. Demei achicha, demo vidam zarotav. That's the plural, the blood in the future. What now may or may not be ironic is Rav Chaim Paltiel, again one of the Balei Tos, would call Demei Achicha Pirush Rashi Damo V'Dam Zarotav. V'hikshor Rav Elchanan Zatzal. By the way, Rav Elchanan was one of the Balei Tos who lived in London, and he was murdered there. I think the day of the coronation of King Richard, they celebrated in the old days by killing Jews. V'lo ein ben David ba ad sheyichla kol neshamot shebeguf. So that random statement that we saw before, now you realize it's exactly part of the problem over here. God is looking and says, again, how can the world ever be completed? Look at it. Look at what you have done. Rabbeinu Bechaye says that as punishment for wiping out Hevel, Cain's line will be wiped out as well in the flood. And that's, which again is a whole nother looking at the flood. Yeah, this line can't continue because otherwise there's not really an appropriate punishment for what Cain had done. Cain killed Hevel and all of his descendants, so ultimately Cain killed Hevel and his descendants, so ultimately Cain's descendants are also not going to survive, which is maybe very troubling. It's very troubling. What happened to this idea? And the sins of the fathers are not upon the children, and so on. Well, that's only if the children act better than the father. One last application of all of this is towards the very end of the Torah, of somebody else who gets to see into the future. And that's source number 20. Vayal Moshe me'avot Moav el har Nevo, rosh ha'pisgah shel pnei Yerecho, vayarei Hashem et kol ha'aretz et ha'gilad Adan. And God, you know, so this is very bittersweet, because Moshe is getting his punishment, and he asks to see the land, and God therefore says, sure, I'll let you see the land, but from the other side. And he shows him the whole land from the Gilad to Dan. V'et kol Naphtali, v'et kol v'eretz Ephraim u'Menashe, v'et kol eretz Yehudah ad yom acharon. He sees all of this. V'et ha'negev v'et ha'kikar bik'at Yericho, ir ha'tmerim ad Tzoar. V'yomer Hashem elav, zot ha'aretz asher nishbati elav v'av Yitzchak Yaakov, lemor lezarecha etnena. This land which I promised, av Yitzchak Yaakov, saying I'm going to give it to your descendants, har iticha be'enecha, you saw with your eyes, but v'shama lo ta'avar, but you're not going to go over. Which, by the way, really is God over here in the sense as being both in terms of compassion, letting him see, but in terms of strictness, the law is still going to be fulfilled. And nonetheless, Moshe dies, which is a punishment, but it's a very tender death. He dies at the hand of God, a kiss of God, as it were. Rashi over here, there's all of these Rashis, it's Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. On each of these verses, Rashi says the exact same thing. Et kol ha'aretz, hirayu et kol ha'aretz yo bishalvata. Va'mitzikim ma'atidim liot mitzikim la. He saw Israel in the future, both in its times of peace and its times of turmoil. Adan, hirayu b'nei Dan ovdim avdav azara. He saw in the future when the children of Dan were not going to be behaving. V'rayu Shimshon she'atid latzeit minu l'moshiach. And he saw Shimshon who was going to make things right. Ved kol Naphtali, hirayu he saw the land of Naphtali both in times of peace and destruction. He saw Devorah. And it goes through all of these things that Moshe sees this. And now you realize that this, you know, if this, let's just try to wrap all of this up. The main word we stayed with today from the beginning to end is the word Sefer. But it's the Book of Man. And the Book of Man is a very interesting and a very complex book. And to what extent the Book of Man is separate from the Torah itself, I think now we realize that's really an interesting question. Part of this is the ability of man to continue on, and continuing on and being in a certain sense, therefore, like God in our ability to continue on. But as we do, we can't ignore what I really said at the beginning, that as we continue, there is nonetheless going to be pain, and there's going to be scars, and there's going to be exile, and there's going to be all kinds of baggage which the various characters moving forward have inherited, either from the past or their own experiences. Either that they've, you know, the children of Holocaust survivors is well documented, and now there's studies of grandchildren of survivors. It's not like something happened a long time ago. It's that there is baggage, there is pain, there are scars that continue onward, and that is part of this human condition that we have. That's part of the story. Is this a story or is this an accounting? Is this a story or is it a book? And the answer to all of that is, having seen of all sources the Sefer Yetzirah, is yes. The answer is yes. And noting now the various commentaries that struggled with this, because each of them were trying to look at it only in terms of one, I think now you realize how elegant that solution is, that no, there's all of these components coming on together, and just like perhaps the letters and the numbers and the manipulation of the Sefirot on any Kabbalistic level you want to understand this, is part of the creation of man, it's part of who we are as well by an accounting and telling over stories and writing books and moving forward. Now, how this book continues or what story this book tells, well, some of it is completely up to us, what is going to be in that book. But some of it is really about the future. So it really is quite interesting. There was one more Rashi that I wanted to note where he gets to the point that I showed you all of this in Pasuk Dalet, right? I'm showing this, that I've kept my promise with Avin Yitzchak and Yaakov, Kidei she'telech v'tomar la'Avin Yitzchak Yaakov, Shvua she'nishba lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaima. That when you go and you meet them, go tell them that the promise was kept. And there really is something special about that. V'zeu lemor, that's what it means that you should say this over. L'kach haritia l'cha avogzerim l'fnai sheshama lo ta'avar. But nonetheless, it is a decree from in front of me that you can't pass. Otherwise, you could just go over yourself and then you could tell them. But he goes, no, I'm going to let you see. I'm going to give you this gift that you can see this all prophetically. Or you, now we realize there's something else happening, is that he's also saying a book. You know, Moshe, who is the one who's privileged to be the, I don't want to say the author, but the one who writes the Torah, and God dictates to him, and he's the, so God is then telling him, the scribe, and now God is telling him how the story continues, and how the story, I'm not going to say quite ends, but he sees so much more. So Adam, seeing this book, sees David, but we need there to be a David. There can't be, you know, this can't last if there's no David. In fact, there are those who claim that Adam, the name Adam, Adam, stands for Adam and David and Mashiach. And therefore, there needs to be this connection between them. Otherwise, there's something missing about the story. So we need an accounting, we need a story, we need a book, and we need to know that there's a past, and we need to know that part of what we're living through right now is that fulfillment. And what Moshe gets to see over here and goes back and tells Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, you know, guess what I saw? You know, I saw all of these things. So therefore, God has kept his word. So we're very, very blessed to have a shir today, learn Parsha Bereishit in Yerushalayim, and to be able to see the so much more of the story than other people were able to see at other points of time. So just realize this is part of a story, and we're seeing it, and there's a sefer, and there's an accounting, and there's a book, and this is the book of man.